Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
Listen, somebody's life is about to change forever. Somebody here, you're about to receive an inheritance that can never be taken from you. Someone walked into this place with a lot of uncertainty, many questions begging for answers. You're about to receive divine directions. There's a woman that walked in here with shame, guilt, and a heap of accusations on her soul. Before the meeting ends tonight, the Lord will restore the joy of your salvation. Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 13. Everybody, it is projected. Let's try and be very interactive tonight. Can we read together as loud as we can? 1, 2, go. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. This is the concluding part of the Lord's Prayer. The concluding part of the prayer lecture Jesus was teaching the disciples. He was going to show them how effective prayer is engaged. And he taught them in process. And this is the final petition of that particular prayer. It's actually a very robust syllable, because Jesus began to show us from the structure that we can find inside the Lord's Prayer, that it begins from a place of gratitude, a place of adoration, a place of thanksgiving. So it began with our Father who art in heaven. The premise for effective prayer is that God and you must have a relationship. So it starts from our Father. Father means He is actually the source of your existence. He is the reference of your direction. It means He is the one who is accountable for the seasons of your life. It means you have placed Him in a place where none can be superior to. So our Father means the first criteria for effective prayer is relationship. If you don't have relationship with God, every motion you put into prayer will eventually become a waste of time. The scripture says the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous. The word righteous there means right standing, the capacity to live up to the nature of God. And it means there is no way you can be righteous if God has not imputed His righteousness into you. And the process by which God imputes His righteousness into us is actually, you know, dependent on the encounters of salvation that must first happen to us. So we must be regenerated. If we are not born again, we cannot inherit the righteousness of God. So if the Bible says the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous, it means that at some point God has become your Father. Because you cannot be righteous except by means of Him bestowing that righteousness that is His to us. The righteousness that we now possess is a righteousness that is bestowed on us. It is conferred on us. It is given to us. It is not us that labored into it. So the scripture says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it is Christ that secured the righteousness. It was only given to us. Meaning that the only way you can become a benefactor of that righteousness is that you must be born into the family of God. When you are born, you can inherit that righteousness. So if scripture says the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous is saying prayer of those who are born of God, prayer of those who have relationship with God. If there's no relationship, prayer is a waste of your time. I hate to tell you this. When your heart is totally against the laws of God, when the way of your life does not reflect God's counsel, when iniquity prospers over your vessel and God is not Lord over your life, every attempt to pray becomes a provocation in the holy courts of God. The Bible says the prayer of a sinner is an abomination before God. It means the fact that you even came without first acknowledging that you are wrong, without first making the right apology for the iniquity of our ways, without first seeking his saving power, every greedy thing you are asking for, every selfish and self-centered thing you are asking for, it will only occasion more seasons of hostility and more seasons of doom for a sinner. A sinner has only one conversation he needs to have with God, is repentance. A sinner has one prayer God is waiting to hear from him, is I'm sorry. Any other thing outside this thing, it will even bring more doom to the sinner and to the unsaved. This is why we began by exploring how Jesus went into the lecture of prayer. He says, pray in this manner. Say, our Father. Is he your Father? If you can get that place right, there are many other things in prayer that will easily flow for you. Our Father, who art in heaven. It starts from relationship. It enters salutation. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That's reverence. That's exaltation. That's salutation. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will. So it started by prioritizing God's agenda, prioritizing God's initiative, putting God's will ahead of anything I'm about to say. The prayer opened up first by putting God's agenda first. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It starts with God's will, God's need, God's agenda, God's interest. Before you even mention your own challenge, God is first. God is the Alpha. God is the initial conversation. Everything pulsates, everything gravitates around his will, around his desires, and around his agenda. But as we continue in the prayer, you will begin to see a particular concept that was repeated twice in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was very deliberate about reiterating it and repeating it twice. He says, thy kingdom come, that's one of it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom. So the word kingdom manifested twice in that prayer. The first is thy kingdom come. The second is thine is the kingdom. That's to show you the emphasis about Jesus' operation. His operation was about kingdom. He was a man that was deliberate about communicating kingdom. In fact, the Bible made it expressly clear that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. So when it is time to pray, Jesus advocated for kingdom. When it's time to teach, he taught about kingdom. Everything he was doing was an attempt to reveal kingdom. So what is kingdom? It will interest you to know that part of the only thing that differentiated Jesus' operation from the religious operation of his time is this emphasis on kingdom. Is that he was conscious of a kingdom. Even when Pilate was questioning him, are you a king? He looked at Pilate. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Meaning that the totality of his existence, he was living from the lens of a king and a kingdom. The difference between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of our God and of his Christ is that the kingdom of this world is actually built around many laws, many cultures that continues to advocate for corruption. But the kingdom of our God is actually strange, different from all other kingdoms. In the kingdom of our God, our king is our father. In the kingdom of our God, every citizen is your relative. We are all related. So in the kingdom of our God, nobody is superior in social class than another. Everybody have the same standing in the kingdom of our God. Nobody is a first class citizen and another is relegated. In the kingdom of our God, we have not only been given a king that is our father, all of us are also kings in our rights, and we are also priests. This is why when you begin to look at the emphasis of kingdom that is continue to be repeated in the prayer of Jesus and in the teachings of Jesus, you will see that the most important concept that he came to introduce was the kingdom. What then is the kingdom? The kingdom of God, if you are writing very quickly, the kingdom of God is the reign of God, is the sphere where God's authority is acknowledged and obeyed. The kingdom of God is the reign of God. It is the sphere where God's authority is acknowledged and obeyed. One more time. The kingdom of God is the reign of God. It is the sphere, the environment, the atmosphere, the place, the life, the space where God's authority is acknowledged and obeyed. That is the kingdom of God. Now, if you look critically into these things, it will interest you to know that although many of us have given our life to Jesus, although many of us are born of the Spirit, we do not participate in the politics of kingdom. We are not actually living as citizens of the kingdom of God. And by extension, consequently, our life is handicapped because we are not benefiting from the resource that we are supposed to draw since we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, if you look carefully at the way kingdoms are instituted, Nigeria is a country of its own, having a sovereign, you know, government that rules over its affairs, but Nigeria have various embassies, different countries who have their embassies here in Nigeria. For example, the U.S. embassy in Nigeria, if you enter that space, everything you see around the U.S. embassy is communicating the reality of the U.S. systems, communicating the reality of the U.S. culture, communicating the reality of the U.S. belief systems, communicating the reality of the affluence of the U.S. space. So the furniture you'll find inside the embassy is from U.S. The rug you'll find inside the embassy is from U.S. The language they will speak there is actually the way they speak it in the U.S. And you will find out that they did it deliberately to create a U.S. culture, a U.S. environment, a U.S. space, even if it is within the soil of Nigeria. Meaning that when you look critically at that arrangement, even within the world of men, that an arrangement like this can be created where another nation can have its expression in a nation and communicate all of its will, its counsel, its objective, its wealth, its way of life, still within that other nation. So we are also citizens of a civilization that transcends time. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Our life is not supposed to be measured and determined and shaped by the cultures of this world. We come from another government. We come from another kingdom. And by so doing, everything that shapes, that involves, and that characterizes our lives must be reflective of the kingdom that we came from. To become a citizen of the kingdom, unlike many other kingdoms, where you can stay in for a while, hang around for some time, and by virtue of staying for that number of years, you can nationalize, you can decide to become or apply to become a citizen of the kingdom. In this kingdom of God, you can only become a citizen by birth. And the birth, that's the only way you are admitted into the kingdom. That's what Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus. And I feel we should read it in John chapter 3 and in verse 3. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This kingdom we speak about has many realities that shape it. In this world, there are many limitations that characterizes the kingdoms of this world. There are economic crises, there are health challenges, there are political upheavals in different nations. There is food scarcity and shortage across many, many countries. There is the challenge of insecurity. The truth of the matter is, many of us, although we are born again, although we are saved, although we profess to be children of God, we have not come into the consciousness of kingdom. And so our life is not reflective of that government that transcends time. Our life is not reflective of that kingdom that is not limited by the things that have buffeted the kingdoms of this world. If you are deliberate about seeing the kingdom, as John chapter 3 verse 3 has stated, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see there is consciousness. He cannot interact. He cannot receive signals. He cannot discern a reality that is above the mundane. The totality of his life will be lived from the tangent of this fallen kingdom, of these broken systems of the kingdoms of this world. In this world, the way to increase is to continue to pile, to continue to store, to continue to hide, to catch money and never release it. In the way of this kingdom, the culture of this kingdom is greed. Is greed, is strife, is ungodliness. But because we came from another kingdom, it was ordained that our prosperity will come from another culture. And so if you, as a kingdom citizen, bearing the banner of Jesus, having the mark of God upon you, venture out of kingdom operation and try to operate by the way of the world, you will still not succeed. Because on you is a tag affronting another kingdom. That's why you see the ungodly prosper in iniquity. But the righteous man wanted to test it one day, and the kind of challenge he will face, he will wish he never turned his back. A lady can be in the club, sleeping in the club. Every day, she's sleeping with different men. And she will come back with the proceeds of iniquity. She will rub it on your face. You, as a righteous lady, try to sleep around once and see what will happen to you. You will know that Satan is not planning to see you again. So the only time he can have your attention, he will capitalize on that opportunity. A lady decided to escort her friend only once. The friend that goes out every Friday and Tuesdays. What is Tuesday again? Wednesday. Ladies night. Let's salute. Let's salute the labels that secure this information for us. Ladies night. Every Friday and Wednesdays. But this one is in the room always. One day she said, let her escort this one. The only day she went out, you will know that Satan always waits for the righteous. You don't belong in their kingdom. So the only way they will antagonize you is to create opportunities for their own, so that their own will have natural advantage, natural help from the path of iniquity. You who is born of God, carrying the banner of Jesus, you are the only one that don't know that there is something different about you. There is something that distinguishes you from the way of this world. You think, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come and be my Lord and personal Savior. It's not only in your mouth. There is something about your visage spiritually that makes it clear that you don't belong to Satan again. And anywhere they see you, they know that you are not a part of them. So this is why there is hostility waiting for you at every junction. And if you are not intelligent, to know that if you don't subscribe to your own kingdom, there is no advantage for you. The righteous cannot prosper the way the unrighteous do. The law that has been reserved for the prosperity of the righteous is different. It's called the keys of the kingdom. Keys. The keys. The keys. The way you have a key that opens specific door. Jesus says, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. It means access into kingdom operation. Access. Access. While an unrighteous man is there, lobbying for how to cheat people, lobbying for how to deceive people, lobbying for how to get people into fraudulent activity. The average young man is learning all kinds of internet interface. And you see them with very funny hairstyles. A crossover bag, a white t-shirt. I'm describing a uniform of a particular. They live in wantonness. They live for pleasure. The proceeds they are actually spending, it was not gotten by way of diligence. They cheated people out of their hard-earned money. And in that their kingdom, you are celebrated for even having the capacity to cheat a person. So when you meet your fellow kingdom men in that other space, they hail you and say that your this thing, what was that language? You cash out, right? No, that one is for Beth Niger. They say, your this thing don't pay. Huh? MAGA don't pay. They hail you, it's an achievement. Because in that kingdom, that is their way to excel. A Christian, I don't know what you're looking for in Niger bed shop. Do you think your prophetic ministry is extended to that place? That you just stay like this and say, I enter into the world of the spirit. I enter into 1 hour to come. Chelsea will win this match. Then you do like this. You see somebody do like this. Say, I see 2-0. I see 2. I see 2 in the world of the spirit. If I see people who are doing match prediction as a way to glorify Jesus. Eh? I don't know what to tell you. Is the way the world work. If you look at the model that has been designed to give an advantage to the people of the world, you will know that we don't operate by the same rule. Hey, see, do you know the most popular business now in this space? Eh? It's beer parlor. Club. Once you retire, don't think twice. Just carry your gratuity. Look for a space. Buy that small signboard of Gouda that is sweating. Put it outside with that light inside. Eh? Don't invite anybody, they will come. Like flies, they will look for where the odor is coming from. They will come. Every corner you turn is one club or another. And every night, you will see them like flies from different areas, different axes, on bike. The bike is on high speed. You may die. They cannot help but locate where the demonic drumbeat is coming from. It's the way of prosperity of this world. This world, you prosper not considering the prosperity of your soul. In this world, the prosperity you enter is actually going to, by all means, plunge your soul into deeper layers of corruption. So, people are raped in your business establishment does not mean anything to you. People are drugged in your business establishment. It does not mean anything to you. People are put under very compromising situation. You see a generation perishing. For you, it's about money. You see a generation dying. You can see 12, 13, 11 years coming in skimpy dresses. You are a father. For you, the money you will gain is more important than a legacy you will leave in a generation. This is how it was ordained by that kingdom to prosper. You must prosper by advancing corruption. Your prosperity must be missions. It must be by evangelism. That thing you see happening there is ministry. They are rewarded for serving faithfully a kingdom. You too, when it's now time to look into kingdom economy, to look into kingdom economy, how is it ordained for kingdom citizens to prosper? They say, don't let pastors deceive you. They just want you. If these people are doing these things directly advancing the government of corruption, and that is why they were rewarded, why do you think you now, who is supposed to operate by the way of life, that the path of God is foolishness? In the world, the way up is to bully people. The way up is to suppress people. The way up is to project yourself. The way up is to push for self-aggrandizement. In the world, the way up is by strife. In the kingdom, the greatest is the least. The way up in the kingdom is downward. The more you bring yourself down, you become bigger in kingdom. So if you look carefully at both kingdoms, we operate almost opposite counsels. How are you wearing the flag of Jesus? But your operating system is the way of the world. How are you wearing the flag of Jesus and you want to prosper by the principles of this world, the principles, the economic principles of the way of this world? How do you think, is there no advantage for us reserved in the kingdom of God? And that is the kingdom we came from. That is the kingdom we are a part of. That is the kingdom that advances and has advantages for you. If you walk outside the kingdom, the only thing they have for you, they know that you are not with them, you are not for them. If a Chinese man enters this hall now and wears an Ankara native, the native he wears, does it change the reality that we know he's not like us? Everybody will know he stands out. The people who sit near him, they'll just be facing front, they will not even look at him. When he tries to talk, his speech will betray him. There will be some words he probably will not be able to pronounce well. I'm trying to tell you that a righteous man, no matter how much he deviates, no matter how much he tries to compromise, something about you, the nature of God inside you, it will sell you out that you don't belong with them. You don't belong there. Some of you go, you try to cut corners, try to compromise, and you can see that you don't even fit there again. You have tarried long in Zion that you don't have a place in Egypt. You don't even know dance steps anymore. You went to club and you are just bouncing like this. Nothing. You don't have any path there. No need to go. Is that funny? Your life is in the kingdom. And if you must benefit from the kingdom, there is a consciousness we must all sustain. John chapter 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How do we see the kingdom of God? It's a consciousness that draws your eyes to first that you are a part of a kingdom, and that there is a king, and that there are laws that are established in this kingdom, and that there are rights every citizen have. So when you know the rights, you begin to demand your rights based on the laws of the kingdom that you know. Now, this is the same way you now start having access to the keys of the kingdom. Every situation, you know what key to activate. Then you will know that there is a rest that is prepared for God's people. There is a rest reserved for us. But we labor like the labor of the foolish, because we know not the way to the city. Bow your heads wherever you are. Cry for 1 minute to the Lord. Help me see the kingdom. Help me see the kingdom. Give me consciousness of kingdom operations. Help me see it. Help me see it. Help me see it. What is the secret of divine health? Show me. What is the secret of divine prosperity? Show me. What is the secret of preservation and protection? Show me. I don't want to labor with the children of this world. I don't want to operate in disadvantages. Show me the things reserved for God's people. Show me the things kept for the people of God. Oh, definitely we have some advantage. Definitely we have some advantage that put us ahead, that distinguishes us from the children of this world. Surely there's an advantage we have in God. Show me the vein of the silver. Show me where hidden riches of secret places abound. Show me where wealth in this kingdom resides. Kai. For somebody, you are about to stumble into a corridor of divine direction. Suddenly, like a magician, like a wonder to your generation, people are running, people are rushing, and they see you standing. They see you waiting because a voice whispers solutions to you. Wait. Now it's time to go out. And you take one step out. People who have been laboring for years, you came out at the right time, at the right place. Always at the right situation. Because there is a key to this kingdom. There is a key. Show me the key to the door of prosperity. Show me the key to the door of long life. What did the ancient find? What did they find in you? How did they defy death? How did they live that death has no power over them? There is a place you will stand. You will live until you are tired. And then you will call your children and bless everybody according to the counsel of the Lord. And then you will rest in peace. In peace. Death cannot claim you anymore. It's a space, it's a place in kingdom operation. There is a place, my brother. There is a place, my sister. Where it is ravens, the most selfish and stingy bird, ravens that bring your own food for you. God did it that way to show you that from the impossible places, provisions can be supplied. Ravens bringing food for Elijah.
That I may not be laboring like a fool, that I may not be laboring like Mumu. The labor of fools, it wearies them, the labor of fools. Show me things you have hidden from the eyes of pride. Show me things you have kept from. Show me things you have hidden. Hey. Ha. Show me things you have hidden. Hey,
listen. Sarah told Abraham to send Hagar away because a promised child has been born, and there is mockery between Ishmael and Isaac, and God approved of Sarah's request. Abraham sent Hagar away with so much inconsideration. No water, nothing. Just go where? She carried the baby and started journeying into nowhere, and she entered a desert. A wilderness is known for its dryness. No water, nothing, everything dry. Madam looked at the situation. She knew that it's hopeless. She saw the baby crying in thirst, yearning, a little baby that didn't choose the situation. It was Abraham, for God's sake, that slept with Hagar. This baby is innocent, but he became a victim of that situation. And the baby was crying, almost about to die. Hagar said, my eye cannot behold the death of the baby. So she kept the baby afar off and turned her back and began to weep. In her tears, an angel of the Lord appeared and said, Hagar, God has heard the cry of the baby. Not your own. The baby's cry has reached heaven. He told Hagar, turn and look. The same place she was standing, the same place she has been crying. The same spot she stood and drought was her challenge. The moment the angel said turn, when she turned, lo and behold, there was a pool of water always there. They didn't create a pool, they only opened her eyes. There is something Isaiah chapter 45 verse 2 and 3. He says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. Verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. They are there, but it is hidden. There are treasures, but it is in darkness. There are riches, but it is in secret places. Your eye must be open to see it. Hagar was standing in front of her need, but she could not see it. The angel says, look. Her eyes was open, and the water that was a challenge was in front all along. See, you must cry to the Lord tonight. I know there is a path ordained for the righteous. I know that you were not lying when you said the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. I know you were not joking with me when you said when men shall say there is a casting down, me, I will say there is a lifting. I know that there is a divine sustenance that is designed for Christians, designed for the righteous. We were not supposed to operate the same limitation with the sons of this world. The challenge is that we live our whole life under their culture. We live our whole life under their government. We live our whole life submitting to their rule. If only we can take keys tonight. That's why I'm asking somebody, 1 minute, you and the Holy Ghost, flog this thing out. Open my eyes. What must I know to step into reality? The truth about keys is that when you find any key, you can transfer it to another generation. It's an inheritance that cannot be taken from you. Some of you will stumble into the key of long life. The key of long life. An instruction will be funneled into your soul. You will just know. Something will tell you, do this and this and this. And you will enter into this reality. You have found a key. A key, my brother. A key, my sister. Stop going the way of the world. Stop lobbying from office to office. Stop begging men. Your help is not with beg. Your help is not in the arm of the flesh. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Open my eyes. Show me great and mighty things which I do not know of. What is the secret of divine supply? What is the secret of multiplication? What is the secret of longevity? Why do you pray like you are not contending for anything? Why do you pray like your life has everything answered? Why do you pray like your life is sorted out already?
Be laboring like a fool, that I may not be laboring like a fool. The labor of fools, it wearies them. The labor of fools, it wearies them. Show me tears you are hidden. Show me things you have kept for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Listen. When you are born again, you become automatically a citizen of this kingdom. But it has been replicately diagnosed in scriptures that ignorance is a major challenge to the people of God. That you are a part of a kingdom, but you didn't know. So you are trying to use the laws, the culture, the way, the principles of this kingdom, of this world. And every time you are trying, it's not working. I'm explaining somebody's life already. You have been asking questions. Why is it that me, if I try this thing, every other person you to work for, you are wearing another flag? It was not designed to answer to you. You too, you have your own, there are laws in your own kingdom that was designed to cause for your own prosperity, to cause for your own increase. But because you did not even discern that you are a part of a kingdom, you didn't even discern that you are a part of a kingdom. And so there was no way for you to establish connection. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Please, before we sit down, take 30 seconds. Tell the Lord, make kingdom reality a consciousness upon my heart. Help me realize the laws of the kingdom. Help me realize the culture of the kingdom. Help me realize the principles of the kingdom. Help me realize my loyalty to my king. Help me realize and help me walk in that consciousness. I am not of this world. I do not belong in this world. I came from a kingdom. Listen, many of us, please be seated, God bless you. Many of us, we have not yet realized the import and the seriousness of these conversations. It looks like we are all in Nigeria, but our realities are not from the same tangent. Everybody knew that the physical location where Jesus was crucified is at the outskirts of Jerusalem, on the Mount of Calvary. But when spirits wanted to diagnose the place where Jesus was crucified in Revelation, the angel said he was crucified in Sodom, Egypt. That the place where Jesus, our Lord, was crucified, Sodom, Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Meaning that it is only men who are constrained, men who are limited to only the reality of this world, that think that Jesus was actually crucified in Jerusalem. It is two ancient cities that connived together, cooperated to occasion the death and the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me show you the scripture, Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. The Bible says, and their dead bodies, everybody, let's read together, 1, 2, go. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called what? Where also our Lord was what? Was Jesus crucified in Sodom and Egypt? He says the city was spiritually called Sodom, Egypt. Meaning inside Nigeria, there are cities inside. There are ancient cities. You can be in Nigeria, but you are in Egypt. And once you are in Egypt, your life will perpetually experience captivity. Because the king of Egypt is Pharaoh. That's why there are kings, many kings in this world. That's why the Bible calls it the kingdoms of this world, not one. There are many kings. There is Sodom also. You can be in Nigeria, but your domain is Sodom. You live inside Sodom. There is captivity, addiction, keeping your life down. You cannot rise into freedom. No ventilation for those people. Everybody in that space, they must be held bound by spiritual captivity. You will just realize that to name the name of the Lord, you can do it, but to depart from iniquity will be impossible. My brother, you live in Sodom. I don't care what nation you think you are bearing the flag. That's just a way of physical attachment. There are ancient cities reigning over different spaces. It says our Lord was crucified in Sodom, Egypt. There are people sitting here. Where you are, the city where you are actually sitting now is Babel. You are there under the government of corruption. You are in rebellion, totally antagonizing the will of God, building something outside God's program, rebelling against the ordinance of God, instituting something with a proof just to claim that you don't need any link with God, you don't need any attachment with God, that you can stand on your own. When you see atheists, when you see people who are quick to communicate themselves as free thinkers, to introduce themselves as free thinkers, they live in Babel. Any address that they tell you outside Babel, they are wrong. The king of Egypt is Pharaoh. Pharaoh does not respond to tears. Pharaoh does not respond to common sense. There's only one language Pharaoh speaks: power. And when you come with power, Pharaoh also has certain people who pull power in his realm. So if your power is not rooted and deeply, deeply rooted in kingdom operation, even with your power, Pharaoh is one of the hardest princes to let you go.
There are kings. There are kingdoms. There are mountains and there are thrones. But only Yeshua who reigns forever.
See, remove your eyes from the distraction. Remove your eyes from the flags. We are all a part of kingdoms. We are all a part of kingdoms. You can only choose either to be in the kingdom of God, or you will be a part helplessly of any other kingdom. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, the only thing that makes you a part of this civilization of God's kingdom is your ability to first be born into the kingdom. It's the birth that makes you a citizen. When you are born a citizen and you don't know that you are a citizen, you will still be living like a slave. Because we live in a realm where many kingdoms are interfacing. So you belong to the kingdom of God. Another person belongs to maybe another kingdom. So like, for example, inside one hall, 17 kingdoms might meet. But you that don't know your own kingdom, you don't know your king, you don't know the laws, you don't know your entitlement, you don't know your rights, you will be there like this and be doing guesswork because you saw this person did A plus B and he got one result. You too, you go and try it. You don't know how it works in your own kingdom. There are kingdoms people subscribe to. The way for increase and prosperity is immorality in their own kingdom. The moment you enlist into that kingdom, the way to maintain your wealth is to be sleeping around. Sleeping around. That's how their own wealth increases. To keep themselves continuously on the bed of fornication, that's how it increases. They were able to itemize and articulate the laws that causes for their own dominion. You are a part of the kingdom of God, but you don't even want to know the laws of the kingdom. You don't even want to know the things that make for our benefit, the things that make for our increase. I want to show us a few things, and I believe it would help us greatly. Cultures of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom. Romans chapter 14. And in verse 17. Romans chapter 14 and in verse 17. Everybody, let's read together as loud as possible. 1, 2, go. Let's read louder now. One more time. 1, 2, go. This is the culture of the kingdom of God. that if you want to know a citizen of the kingdom of God, there is first a nature called righteousness you will find in them. If you and a brother meet, and the brother belongs to the kingdom where you are actually making your obeisance, you and the brother are actually part of the same kingdom, you will find righteousness in his life. You will find peace in his life, and then you will find the joy in the Holy Ghost in his life. What then is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing before God. Righteousness is right standing before God. In Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 34. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 34. The Bible says, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So this kingdom, it thrives on righteousness. This kingdom, it prospers on righteousness. You know that we are citizens of the kingdom when you can find that nature of righteousness in us. And the kingdom of God we are speaking about, I have a feeling that we might not be able to exhaust. I have not even entered my teaching proper. We might not be able to exhaust, so I would make our time maybe next week to see how we can explore these things. Very quickly, Psalm 89, verse 14. Psalm 89, verse 14. The Bible says it's supposed to be righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice. I think that's the New King James Version, but let's continue. Justice and judgment. The word judgment there is righteousness at the habitation of his throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Please help us with the New King James Version. Righteousness and justice. Is it okay? Well, the basis of the government of God is actually indicated and hosted by this nature, righteousness, justice. The Bible says, come, let's read together now. One, two, go. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So anywhere you see this, his throne is there. That's where his kingdom is. His kingdom is where you find righteousness. It means you can say it with your mouth, as long as that nature is not in you, you are not a part of the kingdom. This is what forms the kingdom. The kingdom is righteousness, is peace, is joy in the Holy Ghost. Such is the kingdom of God. So if you are going to find the kingdom, you will find it predicated upon righteousness, upon peace, upon joy in the Holy Ghost. So kingdom participation is not by claiming, it's not by talking, it's nature. It's your nature that actually ascribes you to a particular kingdom. If you don't seek the kingdom, see what the Bible says. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and seek to be right with the demand of that kingdom. Then every other thing shall be added. Added means it was ordained for you to get these things. There is provision for you in this kingdom, but there is a way it works in this kingdom. So seek the way of this kingdom own first. There's a way we marry in the kingdom. We don't jump around from bed to bed, bed to bed, bed to bed, until one person now trap you. There's a way we increase in this kingdom. We don't expand at the expense of other people's health, at the expense of other people's increase. And then people are offended, people are grieved because of you cut corners, you cheated them out of their hard-earned resources. We don't increase that way. Seek first the kingdom. Seek to be right with the demand of that kingdom. Then all these things shall be added. Say, I'm a part of a kingdom. Say it again like you mean it, I'm a part of a kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. I'm aware that time is not on our side. I'm trying to run so that we find a place to pray and to minister to God's people. Everybody, stay with me as fast as we can. Let's read together. One, two, go. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we became righteous because it was transferred to us. It was a righteousness that was bequeathed to us on account of the finished work of Christ. Very quickly, Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 22. Everybody, let's read together. One, two, go. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. So you want to become a participator in this kingdom, you must inherit the righteousness of God. And there's only one way for it. You must believe in the finished work of Christ. You must receive the sacrifice of Christ, that it was done for you. You must walk in the consciousness of that righteousness. Say, I am righteous. It means there is no man whose conscience is buffeted and perturbed by sin that can operate in kingdom. Because in kingdom, our nature, our visage, our natural form is righteousness. You must have that boldness and that confidence to come freely to God anytime, because of the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus, that we have become partakers of. How do you tell somebody, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world? How do you tell a demoniac that is telling you, we shall see? How do you reply a person that said, unless I am not so, you will die before tomorrow? What statement would you make if you are not operating from a height of righteousness? On what ground do you say, he that is in me is greater than he, if your conscience is already buffeted? If Satan is buffeting you with accusation, guilt, reminding you, making you feel like you don't deserve the promises of God, how can you buffet, how can you antagonize darkness? Don't you know that in the clash of kingdoms, even when Moses came and dropped his staff, Pharaoh brought men who also could drop staff and become snake? It's a clash of kingdoms. In the class, it's a clash of kingdom. In the marketplace, it's a clash of kingdom. In the office, it's a clash of kingdom. There is a kingdom that is actually and deliberately advocating for their kingdom, trying to mock you, make you feel like your own kingdom does not have any reality, trying to make you fidget, make you feel ashamed of what you represent. Then you see believers are even hiding the fact that they are born again. You see believers trying to socialize with the world so that they will be accepted. You see believers, we don't know that we are at war. It's kingdom against kingdoms until the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. That is our responsibility, our task. That's our ordination here. It's kingdom. I represent a kingdom. I am an extension of a kingdom. The second constituent of the kingdom is peace. John chapter 14 verse 27. Peace. 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 My brother, you are here and your conscience is troubled. You are here and there is guilt in your heart. You are here and Satan has gotten your feet into one compromise or another. The whole attempt is to remove your path from kingdom, so that you will just be floating. You will be floating. Today, insist to inherit that righteousness that has been given to us as a gift. A gift. Please bow your heads wherever you are. Lord, I know that without righteousness, without holiness, without purity, I know that without this great gift of salvation, I cannot participate in this great kingdom. I cannot lay claim to my inheritance. I know I have grieved. I know I have transgressed your laws. Today, I come without any claiming of right. I come without any argument. Have mercy upon me. Wash me from the deepest part. Cleanse me from every corruption. Give me this nature of righteousness. Give me boldness, boldness, boldness. Because of sin, now fear is everywhere around you. Because of sin, now fear is your natural form of expression. But he says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. It's not in your own kingdom. Fear is not a reality in your realm. The righteous is as bold. You know why? There is a nature called righteousness that impacts boldness. And that nature, you inherit it as a gift. Jesus is our only source, our only stake, our only claim to righteousness. Every condemnation, every accusation, every guilt on the soul. Can you go ahead and appeal? Appeal! I believe. believe in Jesus. I have no confidence in my flesh. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I put hope and confidence in his finished work. Jesus, Son of God, I believe in you. I believe in you. You are Jesus, the Son of God. I believe in you. I believe in you. Everybody, say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Say, I am in Christ Jesus. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Say, I am in Christ. So I am a new creature. There is no condemnation against me. I am righteous. I am holy. I am pure. I am stainless. Say, I operate in the kingdom of God. I am a part of this kingdom. Hallelujah. The second culture of the kingdom is peace. 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 John chapter 14, verse 27. Quickly. Peace. Is it projected? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. This one is not in the world. The people of the world don't know it. This one is reserved for kingdom citizens. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. Somebody say peace. Say it again, peace. This is why the righteous is as bold as a lion. Nothing shakes him. Nothing shakes him. There is a peace that is a product of an encounter. There is a peace that is a product of a consciousness. There is a peace that is a product of a nature that has been bequeathed unto you. You are at peace with God. Nothing shakes you. My peace I give unto you. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Thou will keep him. Please, please, listen. That place there is him. Put your name and let's read together. 1, 2, go. Thou will keep ever in perfect peace because his mind is stayed on thee. Because ever trusted in thee. In perfect peace. In perfect peace. In perfect peace. See, the people of the world, they will not know why they are so anxious. Running from pillar to post. You are in the same bus. You are in the same situation with them. But they didn't know where the ray of hope is coming from. A king once asked artist to paint a picture of peace for him. Many people painted, you know, a still river. Some people painted trees and a soft breeze blowing around the leaves. Some people painted a bank of a river with all kinds of evening birds flying around it. And an artist painted a dove on a burning tree, fire on the tree, but the dove was still sitting quiet. When the king saw it, he said, "What do you mean by this diagram?" He said, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is rest, even inside trouble. Because in this world, there will be many troubles. But there is a peace Jesus has given to you that gives you rest, even in the midst of trouble. So that when men are saved, there is a casting down. You have a customized economy. You have a customized ecosystem that separates you from the troubles of this world. There is peace for us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but because we know that the Lord delivers him from them all, there is peace. There is a peace we have Because we know that he has never failed us before. There is a peace we have because we know he is too faithful to fail us. There is a peace we have because we have looked back, counted our blessings, named them one by one, and we saw that the person who has brought us this far is not about to leave us now. There is a peace we have because we see that the devil has attempted to cut off our life many times. We are not alive because Satan pitied us. We are alive because Satan failed. There is a peace we have. We know that he attempted many times, he failed. We know he will still fail. There is a peace we have. There is a peace we have when threats come. We know that our life is a product of many threats and attack. In fact, we are standing today because the merchandise of the enemy did not prosper. He reproved kings for their sake. He suffered none to do them harm. Say, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. There is a peace we have because we know we are envoys of a kingdom. We are ambassadors of a realm. There is a touch not my anointed on our head. Even Cain that rebelled, God left a mark on Cain and said, let no man touch Cain. Anybody who killed Cain, anybody, is it you who carries the image of Christ that is moving around with fear? A demon threatening you, a witch threatening you. There is a peace we have because we are citizens of a kingdom. This is the second culture of this kingdom. Peace. If you find any brother in a situation of crisis and you see him gathered, collected, is part of the culture. That is the language we speak in our kingdom. When two of you see yourself, give him salutation. He doesn't need to tell you he's born again. That is the real sign that he's a part of a kingdom. If you see a Christian in pandemonium, you see a Christian running helter-skelter in crisis, he live as though God is not faithful. He live as though there is no king over his life. He live as though it is by his own wisdom that he is alive. He live as though it is by the arm of the flesh that he will make ends meet. Peace. There I have, in spite of all the darkness that surrounds me, and this peace is in my heart, and it comes alive every time I hear your voice. There's a peace that I have, in spite of all the troubles that surround me, and this peace is in my heart, and it comes alive every time I hear your voice. Every time I hear your voice, and it comes alive every time I hear your voice. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you go through the water, it shall not overshadow you. When you go through the fire, it shall not consume you. Lo, I am with you, even unto the uttermost part of the world. Every time I hear your voice. Listen, it's not like we are not scared. It's not like we are not threatened. It's not like we are not confronted with the same challenge everybody is faced with. We too, we think about our future. We ask ourselves, will Nigeria get better? We ask ourselves, am I ever going to... There are many questions. But in the midst of that question, his scripture is quickened. That's his voice. That's his voice. Hey, there is a new outbreak. Oh, this disease is killing everybody. Everybody, the diseases of the Egyptian shall not come near their dwelling. Peace. That uncle that is killing everybody in the family, he asked about you. He was asking us where you are living. It's not time for all night, my brother. No. I shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. I am hid in Christ and Christ in God. If you want to find that peace, it is actually inside his voice. Every time you hear his voice, peace is quickened. every time you hear his voice, peace is quickened. Take a minute wherever you are and call the devil a liar. Call him a liar by the word of God. Call him a liar by the promise of God. Call him a liar by the commandments of God. Everything God has said, and Satan said something different to you. Repeat what God said. And it comes alive every time I hear your voice. And it comes alive every time I hear your voice. There's a peace in my heart, in spite of all the darkness that surrounds me. And this peace is in my soul, and it comes alive. And it comes alive. And it comes alive. You are too faithful to fail me. Oh Jesus, you are too faithful to disappoint me. Ah, you've proven yourself in my life. Listen. In 1 minute, wherever you are, say, peace, be still. It's a prayer point. Peace. Every turbulence, every crisis, every worry in your inside, peace, be still. This is how we operate in this kingdom. This is how we contend in this kingdom. Peace, be still. Can you tell that voice of worry, peace, be still. That voice of anxiety, peace, be still. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, very quickly, verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace. Everybody in the kingdom of this world are carnally minded. They are only conscious of the way of this world. But because we belong in another kingdom, we are spiritually minded, because our kingdom, its operation is from the spirit. So our own peace is not based on anything mundane. We draw reference from a reality that is superior to time. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is peace. And what? Life. Peace. Peace. Say, peace be still. One more time. Peace be still. Psalm 119 verse 165. Psalm 119 was 165. Everybody, let's read as loud as we can. 1, 2, go. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Which law? The law of his kingdom. Those who keep those laws, he says they will have peace. Great peace. Great peace. Nothing shall offend them. Great peace. Great peace. We are not children of this world. We are not sons of this world. We belong to another government. And until we begin to enter that consciousness, you will not see it. That's John chapter 3 verse 3. In John chapter 3 verse 5, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. One is to see in 3 verse 3. In 3 verse 5 is to enter. To enter means to begin to operate the full weight of the kingdom. One is that you are conscious of the reality. The other one is you are partaker. You are participating in it. Are there people who want to enter kingdom tonight? People who want their body to be a proof that divine health is a reality from where we came from. Where we came from, our health is not in our blood. When Jesus resurrected, the wound on his side was left there. The wound on his palm and on his feet was left there. The piercing that was done to pierce his organ was left there so that you will know there is not blood that rose him up. His blood was drained on the cross. He rose up with spirit life. In this kingdom, each and every one of us operate by the Zoe life. When we meet with the people of this world, their own life is in their blood. If mosquito perch on their skin, they will be very vulnerable. We will operate with another life. We operate by the God kind of life. These are the things that make us part of this kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says, if this spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead can dwell in your mortal body. That is your entry level into kingdom. That spirit entered you. It was actually a rebirth. And now you are a child of God because the Spirit of God is within you. I need us to be very deliberate this night. Our time is fast spent, and so I cannot push. I would have showed you joy and love. I would have also wanted to show you the constitution of the kingdom, but we will look at it subsequently. I will also show you the influence of the kingdom. But because it's a miracle service, like I said, we find a place and then we pray. Bow your heads wherever you are. Now that you know it's about kingdom, lay your hands on yourself quickly. Place your hand on any part of your body. Place your hand on any part of your body. And resist, curse anything that is not consistent with the reality of the kingdom of God that we are a citizen of. There's no sickness in that kingdom. Curses don't thrive there. Infirmities have no place there. The kingdom I speak about, we will eventually still enter it physically at the appearing of the Lamb. But by now, we will actually taste of the power of an age that is yet to come. It's a kingdom that we are mirroring into time. Now that you know you are a citizen of a kingdom, now that you can see the kingdom, my brother, enforce your rights quickly. Enforce your rights. Enforce your rights. Enforce your rights. He has not given us the spirit of fear. What is fear doing inside me? I rebuke the spirit of fear. The reign of fear is over. Are you praying? Are you declaring? Are you proclaiming?
to rebuke growths, rebuke cancers, rebuke ulcers, rebuke fevers, rebuke it. No place for sickness. When crisis break forth, the way of the world is to look for drugs immediately. For a kingdom citizen, your first response is the name that at the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Hold the hands of somebody by your side. Just link up with somebody quickly. And continue to pray in the Holy Ghost quickly. There are some of us, nobody has prayed for us for a long time. Nobody has sent prayer your way for a long time. Just pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Shkapakatai. Mampatako. Divine help, enter. separate by keys, by keys, by keys, by keys. Every door I go before, I have access to the keys of the kingdom. I unlock dimensions. I walk in possibilities. I walk in divine possibilities.
He has made us unto our God a kingdom of kings and priests. Kings and priests. Where the word of a king is, there is power. I show you how to deploy your power by your words. I need you to prophesy into the month of May. The next 30 days, send prophecies into May. Send prophecies into May. Prophesy, son of man. Send prophecies. In the month of May, my path is daily loaded with benefits. I walk into prepared blessings.
for me. Doors are opening for me. The mouth of man is loaded with benefits. Everything around you, your family, none of them will fall by the wayside in this month. None of them will be a victim of the wickedness of men. I raise a wall of fire round about them. I build walls of fire. They are going out and they are coming in. It's preserved. The sun shall not smite them by day, nor the moon by night. Can you go ahead and pray? For declarations and proclamations. All that is needed from you is to shout a believing amen anytime you hear the name of Jesus. Over the people of God, every infirmity, every sickness, from pains, from fractures, every blood-related disease, every form of yoke, every bondage, every captivity, everything that causes unwellness, mental sicknesses, all forms of illnesses, I declare right now, leave their bodies in the name of Jesus. everybody who walked into this place trusting God for a touch, trusting God for healing, trusting God to do what man cannot do. Everybody who came here with one negative report or another, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Every yoke that characterizes your background has frustrated generations before you, beginning to find expression in your own life. We command that linkage, we command that yoke, we command that pattern be broken in the name of Jesus. The authority in the name of Jesus has been established. It has been proven. There is nothing that can withstand the name. And so right now, I declare over you, everything in your body that our Heavenly Father has not planted, it is uprooted in the name of Jesus. I command yokes to be broken. I command yokes to be broken. I command yokes to be broken. I command curses to be terminated. I command every evil projection to be cancelled in the name of Jesus. Who is it that saith it? And it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not. I declare over you now, every evil thought, evil report, evil enchantment, every amulet, every charm conjured at any place, at any time, at any season of your life, we nullify it now in the name of Jesus. Everything that makes you arrive late for blessings, everything that makes you spoil your own breakthrough with your own hand, for a reason you just begin to become offended in a season, is a time where blessing is about to happen. And when you fight and scatter the relationship, then something good happens, and it has continued to repeat itself. I command that ungodly narrative, that ungodly pattern, be broken now in the name of Jesus. Let there be divine restoration for lost seasons. Let there be divine restoration for lost opportunities. Let there be divine restoration for lost connections. We put the month of May under pressure. From the first day of May to the last day of May, may every single day of the month of May be loaded with benefits for you in the name of Jesus. As you go about your secular engagement, your daily lives, the reckless riders of wickedness, they will never see you in the name of Jesus. None of you will be a victim of wickedness. None of you will be swallowed up by wickedness. Your going out and your coming in is preserved in the name of Jesus. In this month of May, it will be a month of strategic divine connections for you. May the Lord bring your feet and the feet of anybody you must meet that will occasion a change of season for you. Anybody that must walk into your life to open the new realm. Anybody that must enter your life to open you up to a new reality. I compel them to show up in the name of Jesus.
limitations that have been placed by strongholds over families, hindrances and embargoes, heights where men cannot go beyond, limits where men cannot aspire to actually rise above. Everything that cuts people off, everything that makes men average, everything that kills vision, everything that makes dreams become small, they are swallowed up now in the name of Jesus. I curse the spirit of procrastination. I curse the spirit of laziness. The month of May is your most productive month yet. In the name of Jesus. People in our midst trusting the Lord for the fruit of the womb, trusting the Lord for a baby. In this month of May, you will conceive your miracle child in the name of Jesus. People who have applied, bidded for various opportunities, and there seem to be no response, no feedback. In the month of May, your expectations, the doors you have knocked on, a fatter, it will be opened. Did you hear me? The doors of expectation be opened in the name of Jesus. Every program that has been occasioned for tragedy, for weeping, for sorrow, whether for you or for your family, we cancel that ungodly narrative now. We cancel that ungodly narrative now. Everybody seeing themselves with the dead, seeing themselves with the dead, seeing themselves with obituaries, seeing that somebody died in the family, we cancel that ungodly narrative in the name of Jesus. Over the month of May, we declare that it is a month of supernatural restoration for us. A month of supernatural restoration for God's people. It's a month of supernatural restoration for the people of God. You would run and outrun chariots in this month. You will gain speed to recover lost time in this month. Opportunities will arrange back to back to back to back to back until you have recovered all in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. In the next 5 minutes, uninterrupted, tell the Lord what you want. He told Moses, tell my people that I will do what I hear them say. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. Eye defects. It has disappeared. Check your eyes now. It's gone. Eye defects. Gone forever. Infections. Banished forever. I command all forms of growth, cancers, gone forever. Fractures, all forms of dislocations, you are healed. It's done. Infirmities of all kinds, of whatever name, checked out already from people's body.
month of May, as we have begun on the note of joy, it will be a month loaded with the expression of joy for us in the name of Jesus. It will be full of celebrations. Mountains will be leveled down. Everything that has caused you pain and grievance, it will be missing in the name of Jesus. Prophesy to somebody by your side. Leave a prophecy. Leave a prophecy. You are anointed. This is how we operate in this kingdom. We operate by decrees, by commandments, by proclamation. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. So prophesy unto somebody. Hallelujah! Can somebody make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Continue to celebrate and celebrate. We will throw the camp of the enemy into confusion. It will be a month like no other for you. It's loaded with benefits. It's a month of divine restoration. Years will be restored. Time will be restored. Opportunities will be restored. Possessions will be restored. Everything lost will be restored. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and congratulate somebody by your side. Tell them congratulations. Welcome to the month of restoration. Congratulations. Welcome to the month of restoration.
Transformation is sure by the word of God. To be a kingdom partner with AMI as we advance God's agenda, contact us on 080-35-234-762 or send us an email to anakazopartnership@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anakazomissioninternational.ami. Join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.